Could to the book of Judges 16. So this lands us in the escapades and saga of Samson. It says, starting down in verse 4, there are other things, of course, that he does. But in this particular story, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Well, why would I tell you that? And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto them, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And Delilah therefore took new ropes. You know, you think Samson would quit playing games, but Delilah therefore took 2 new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Well, how can you bind me to try to kill me? Somebody's thick here. I don't know who. She said, he's mocked me these 3 times and has not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, nag, nag, nag. In Hebrew. Nag, nag, nag. And urged him, and that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So let's bow our heads and pray there. Well, Father, come to this story. It's a familiar one. We marvel at some of it, but Father, sometimes men can be stupid. In fact, sometimes we're pretty stupid. And so I pray you might just open up some things here. And for one, assure us of something that we have the world doesn't have. And then, Lord, show us how to protect that great treasure. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a really well-remembered story of the Bible. Hollywood has its turn at it. It's even made a secular song or two, I'm sure. I'm not going to go into all that. But, you know, of course, Hollywood would pick the salacious story and do something with it, right? But it's not too hard to find application here for us today. First of all, it's right to say that Delilah was a wicked woman. Samson was not the epitome of all that was righteous and good either. But so it's a two-way street on that one. I can say this, Delilah does typify a lot of other wicked women. She typifies the great whore. And I'd like to say that she is, it's very helpful to see that she typifies the world. It's hard not to preach on her a little bit tonight, but her purpose was treachery. In verse 5, the Philistines came to her, brought her money, so that's effectively whoredom. And you know, but she's out to be to treacherously betray Samson and whatever kind of love it was that he had for her. The tool that she used was love. The Bible says in verse 4 that he loved her. In verse 15, how canst thou say, I love thee, she says to him. So she's using love as a pry bar, right? His weakness was that he did love her. Like I said, whatever that love was, people say love pretty, you know, flippantly sometimes. And I don't know that he loved her with a true love. But her victory was that he let her in and she got what she wanted. Now, for tonight, the real sermon is about the fact that her goal was his great strength. Down in verse 5, those Philistines wanted to know wherein his great strength lieth. In verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. Speaks of his strength again in verse 9. Speaks of his great strength again in verse 15. Speaks of his strength again in verse 17. Speaks of his strength again in verse 19. And so, I believe, what is that, six times? Six times his strength is spoken of, three of those times his great strength. That is what she was hired to find out. It was her patriotic duty to her people to find out wherein his great strength lieth. Amen? So she wore him down, and he decided he could play games with this and tease her a little bit. And you'll notice that he gradually got closer and closer to the real answer, because he went from stuff out there binding his hands to binding the locks of his head. But when she shaved him, that was when it took place. I'd like to say that in the end, as she shaved him, down in verse 19, she had a razor, and when she saw that he had told him all his heart, told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. So she shaved him. The title of the message tonight is that Delilah still has a razor. And I'd just like to, you know, draw this out, because the world wants to do to you what she did to Samson. It wants to subvert your strength, to undermine and rob you of your strength. His strength, of course, was physical. He carried away the gates of the city and all that kind of stuff, and carried it a long way. So strong as a mule and stronger. Your strength is not necessarily that. You have spiritual strength, but you have something that they, the Philistines, do not have. Delilah's people, the world, they do not have that. They cannot acquire that. They cannot buy that. And so because they don't have what you've got, they would like to drag you down so you're no better. And what they're going to try to do is rob you of your strength. And I wonder if you know what your strength is. You know, I looked up strength and strong and all the forms of the words, and there's like 600 mentions in the Word of God about strength. And 32 times by my count, you are admonished to be strong, or somebody's admonished to be strong. But strength is one of those presumed concepts, once again. Okay, Kyle, be strong. Okay, I know what that means. Do you really? Because without the Bible, you really don't. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, I'll be strong. You don't have any answers. You don't know what your strength is, right? You got to be careful about that stuff because you just presume you know. And so, would you know, just getting up first thing in the morning, if your strength was gone? Would you still think you were strong after it was gone? Well, if you don't know what it is, then you might be confused. I'd like to ask, did you think your enemy wasn't interested? And if you've got something your enemy wants, your enemy's primarily the devil, but also the world. He's the god of this world. Okay, well, did you think that he wasn't interested? Your enemy is always interested in robbing you, undermining you, right? Do you think that you have license to play little games with her, Delilah, the world? Did you decide she was harmless? After all, you've been so familiar with her before, and you've teased her, and you know she's boo-hooed and complained and nagged a little bit, and it's kind of a game for you. You know, she gets her licks in, but you're still on top. You still got this. And I just wonder, did you decide that she was harmless? Because you might underestimate the strength of the chains she brings to the game. And so she has Samson lay his head on her knees, and while he's in the bathroom getting ready for his nap, if he had listened real closely, he would have heard as she stropped that razor, and she's got guys in wait. And as soon as he lays his little head down on her knees where he's perfectly comfortable, gets his head in her lap, and she, Mama's gonna massage your temples and all this kind of stuff. And he goes to sleep, and while he's under, she shaves him. And she has stolen his strength. So it's just simple stuff here. I'd like to mention to you some things that are a Christian strength, because Delilah still has a razor. First of all, it'll be a little bit of a Bible study. Go back, if you will, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Children of Israel have come out from Egypt, of course, and been delivered. Come across the Red Sea, and they're going to have them a party and a sing-along here for a little while before they start complaining again. But chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Key words, the Lord is my strength and song. But the Lord is my strength. So we should start with the Lord. A Christian's strength is the Lord. David said this in 2 Samuel 22, God is my strength and my power. In Psalms 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? Psalm 27, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusteth in him. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 26, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, the Bible says. Now, so to start off our list tonight and not mention him first, it's dangerous to mention something first without mentioning that it's God. That's a Christian strength. The children of Israel, when they came to battle in Samuel's day against the Philistines, They sang, bring us the ark, it shall save us. It's our strength. No, it's not. He is. When Gideon defeated the Midianites, they took Gideon's ephod, his fancy undershirt kind of thing, and made it a relic and worshipped it, because they considered that it gave them the victory. When Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the brazen serpent, years and years later in 2 Kings, there were people that were still worshiping that brazen serpent and had named it Nehushtan. It was now their god. No, God is your strength. And so that's why I say it's just dangerous to start, I think, without saying, first of all, that God is our strength. There are some other things involved with that. But first and foremost, God is your strength. And so you have something the world knows nothing about. You have a living God. You have a living God that gave up everything to establish a relationship with you, to represent Him as a form, a teraphim, an idol, or a formula is not right. You've been given a personal relationship with God. And so, you stop and think about David and of all the grievous things David did, Bathsheba, Uriah, the Hittite numbering Israel, so 70,000 dead and so on and so forth. One thing you can say about David is that he never, as far as I know, went after another god. Now, Solomon, it didn't take him long because he was real attracted to those women. And so he took their gods. But as far as you can find, I don't think that David ever went after another god, even on his worst day. And so maybe that's why he is as great a man as we, know the Lord holds him up to be. I say that to say, so Delilah still has a razor. She wishes to separate you from your strength. She wants to separate you from the Lord. Okay, so then I ask how she's going to do that. She's stropping her razor. How she's going to do it? Well, she's had pretty good success with theological misconceptions. She's had real good success by just letting doofuses and dorks teach people bad Bible. Stop and consider that the Trinity, the Godhead, has been a matter of contention for as long as there have been Christians. From the very start, the issue became a philosophical wrangling, a theological wrangling about, the nature of God versus Christ versus Holy Spirit and how they related one to another. And the bottom line is you just have to accept what the Bible says. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. It's three in one. It's not like the Muslims over there in Israel were yelling at me, which is that, we believe in only one God. You believe in three. No, I don't. I believe in a tripart God. I believe in a singular, unified God that happens to have three parts like me, body, soul, and spirit. But if the Lord can teach, if Delilah can influence somebody to teach theology and doctrine that's wrong about God, she can make God a Santa Claus, if she can make God all love, right? Or if maybe she can make God all fire. But God's not all fire and He's not all love. But if Delilah can succeed in messing up Bible doctrine, then she's going to rob you of your strength, because she'll rob you of knowing the God of truth. And so that's why we can say without any fear of or trepidation that if you don't know the Lord of the Bible, you don't know the Lord at all. And you can't trust people to present Him to you in perfection. You will have to check out what they tell you about Him from your final authority. And so her razor involves theology, for one. But I should also add this. She's out to separate you from your God. Well, Samson, as you know from Judges 13, was a Nazarite. He took the Nazaritic vow. Now, that's not Nazareth, that's Nazarite. That comes from Numbers 6, where the Lord said, if somebody wants to make a vow and consecrate themselves unto me, there are certain things, you know, that you're not to touch anything that has to do with grapes until your vows are over. If you come at a dead body, if you touch something dead, et cetera, you've defiled your consecration. You have to come out from under that consecration and make the sacrifice and put things right. And so Samson was supposed to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And yet we all know that he went and killed a lion, so he's already touched a dead body. Went back to the dead body, got the honeycomb out of it and ate the honey and took some home to mama. And so he's not right. And so one of the things that she helped do was rob him of his separation. She had at least a role in that. I'm not saying that he wasn't responsible himself, but she had a role in it. So your consecration to God is it's your relationship with him. And what you separate yourself from, what you consecrate to him, is yours. And so people get real careless with their separation today. They get real careless. They think that they can have the world and have perfect fellowship with God too. And they're wrong. So Delilah robbed Samson of his strength because she robbed him effectively of God. She put him in adversity with God. So there's a second thing we can add, since we've talked about the Lord being our strength, because that's the first thing that our strength is. If you wouldn't mind, go to Nehemiah chapter 8. You know where I'm headed with this, many of you. Nehemiah chapter 8. And you shouldn't overlook this. You can, once you find Nehemiah, if you would, go ahead and flip over to John as well, book of John. But Nehemiah chapter 8, go down to verse 10. These are the people in the land rebuilding the city walls and the city itself. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now you got to have God before you have that, right? That's why we had to put God first. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. I ask you to go on over to John. Look in John chapter 15. John 15, verse 11. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. He wants literally his joy fulfilled in yourself. That's a remarkable statement. But it must be available, right? Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves, talking about the disciples. Now, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's what God imparts to your heart. It's that strange emotion you had right after you got saved. And it wasn't exactly, if like I said this morning, merry or gay or anything like that, but there was a deep-seated thing that you had never had before. It's salvation, you get an infusion because of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, who saved you, and you're complete in him. And so there's a whole lot of stuff that is pulled off your plate you don't have to worry about anymore. Amen. And with that, once you realize it, comes joy. Now, if you're ignorant, maybe you don't get it. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is strength because nothing the world has can touch it or compare to it. There's nothing, you know, their drunkenness, their parties, that is not joy. And it's something that they can't get, so they want to remove it from you. And the God of this world will do the best that he can to get it from you, and he'll use Delilah to do it. So, again, Delilah still has a razor, so she confuses things. She brings forth the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. And with those things, the pleasures of this life, with those things comes baggage. And with the baggage comes trouble. And so you gradually, the deeper you get, you lose your joy. The allure of sinful things. Again, an alienation from the Bible. You don't know what's wrong, and so you never discover what's wrong because your Bible's strange to you. And the devil likes it that way. And so the world, the Delilah still has a razor. She wants to rob you, not only of the Lord, but as best she can. But she wants to rob you of the joy of the Lord. She wants you double-minded. She wants you ensconced in worldly details. Worried about politics. Worried about ICE. Worried about the protests. Worried about this. Worried about that. Worried about COVID. Worried. Just worried. Just stressed out. Hardly can go to sleep. She wants you that way. Because the more she can get you that way and control your thoughts and minds, the more desperate you can be, the more frustrated you are, the more fearful you are, the further you are away from joy. So Delilah still has a razor. She wants to separate you from the Lord. She wants you to separate you from the joy of the Lord. And we just saw these verses, but do me a favor and go back to them. Look in John chapter 15 one more time. John 15. And read verse 11. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken, Jesus Christ, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Okay, well, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then that joy comes from him speaking to you. Then him speaking to you is a strength. 17, 13 again, please. 17:13. And now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Without I am speaking it, without them hearing it, they don't have the joy. Look in 16:33, John. 16:33. You can cite it probably. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I put this with a verse in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is in prison, and he is all but given up, and he says, I quit. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Because those words were strength. Those words were strength. He couldn't keep the crowds away. There were times in Jesus' ministry that no matter what they tried, the crowds followed wherever. If he got on a boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, get on the other side, word spreads, and here they come. Because it's a joy to hear the words, right? Look at just one more passage on this that's pretty good. Look in Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter 10 real quick. I come here for two or three different illustrations, but Daniel chapter 10. Okay, Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel's praying, trying to understand a vision. In verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. I should have started in verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength again. And so a hand comes, puts him in, and puts him up on the palm of, the, of his hands. Look down in verse 16, where it says, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned on, upon me, and I have retained no strength." No strength. Verse 19. Let me start with verse 18. "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened." When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Now, I think that was an angel. That was a prince. But he was carrying God's message. Right? And so effectively is God speaking to him. And when he had no strength, the sound of his voice was a strength to him. Delilah still has a razor. And what she's trying to do is separate you from your Bible. Trying to separate you from God speaking to you. So she makes you too busy. Or you're mad. Or your culture robs you, you know, your family culture. Because some of you were raised in a family that had no Bible. And you're a real anomaly. Because now it's Bible, 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 right? But a lot of folks are raised in a whole family culture, a national culture, where the concept of a final authority in a book is not even part of the mindset, you know? So you should be careful. Don't let them rob you of that. The Lord speaking to you is your strength. They come along, and really smart guys who spend a lot of time in school say, a better translation would be. And you know this, you know this line. Once they impart that doubt, and you accept that there might be a problem, you're sunk. You are sunk. Because if you can't go check out what that ninny says, you don't know whether he's a doctor or a nanny goat. Okay? He may be a royal idiot. Or he may be a satanic spokesman. And you won't know unless you can check him out. Once you yield to, you can't know what the Bible says because you don't know the original languages. Here, let me help. You are sunk. And Delilah and the God that rules her and her managers that use her as a whore, they've succeeded in robbing you of your strength. It's just true. Again, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the pleasures of this life, enter in and choke the word. And she makes sure that you see all the glitz and all the glamour and all the sequins and everything and the flashing lights. And boy, that looks good. You know, like I said this morning, the Lord's great things come dressed in mundane garments. You know, obedience and faith and, you know, follow me. And meanwhile, the old whore, she dresses it up. Sequins and, you know, costume jewelry. I mean, it's worth 55 cents, but it sure looks good. And it sure is appealing to some. And once you go that route, you've lost something. You've lost your strength. Because God speaking to you is your strength. And where you get so mad at the brethren that you can't stand to sit in the same church with them, to hear the word of God, she succeeded. Notice Psalms 138. I've gotten, what, three things. So first of all, the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord speaking to you is your strength. There is something about, it doesn't have to be any new doctrine. There is something about leaving your home in the morning without having made contact with God that is not the same as having sat down for a few minutes with a quiet spirit and let him speak. And he may not have taught you a single new thing, but you made contact. And it puts a whole the day in a whole new perspective. Because God speaking to you is strength. Don't get charismatic on me here. I'm talking about Bible here, right? All right, look in Psalm 138. Psalms 138. Now, there's a famous verse we quote all the time here, but there's another one after it. Psalms 138. And you know the verse, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Okay, that's a cool verse, right? But verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. I cried to you, you answered my prayer, and you answered me and you strengthened me with strength in my soul. Okay, so answered prayer is a strength. And it should not go without saying that you have to pray to have answered prayer. It's also, I mean, it can be kind of a trap sometimes. Please believe me, I believe in, we wouldn't take prayer requests if we didn't believe in that, right? But when you give a consistent prayer request, I want to know, are you praying or are you just trying to get somebody else to do your work for you? Because maybe you think, well, I mean, if I can get 50 people to pray for me, then I don't have to pray. I don't know. I'm just asking. Because I'm telling you that you getting your prayers that you've prayed answered is God's touch on your life. And if the brethren can help, by all means have them help. But if you have no sense that God has answered my prayer, with or without the help of my brethren, I mean, that is a strength to know that God is alive and listened to me and yielded to my voice. Brother Dave mentioned this morning, you know, his 38th anniversary being here. And, you know, I was thinking about prayer this afternoon because when I was in college, you know, I've told you the story, but, you know, I went off to school, and for the first 3 years, I was one lost, lonely boy. I mean, I was saved, but I'm telling you, I'm struggling through a challenging coursework, and the Lord had kind of stomped out an athletic career that I thought was going to be my real joy, and, you know, I'm trying to make it, and all the while, I'm trying to do this physical therapy thing and get into a, you know, physical therapy school. I'm still, it's not like I'm just longing to do that for the rest of my life. And so, like I said, by the time the Lord caught up with me and humbled me, I was a very lonely kid. And I just remember sometimes my friends, late in that whole sequence of things, of course, Friday nights and Saturday nights at college are, you know, except mine got where they weren't. And, you know, instead of going out with those guys, I'd go off by myself somewhere. And I guess I wouldn't have called it praying. I don't know at that juncture, but I know this. There came an hour, I was looking for the truth. And there came an hour in college that I got an answer. And I went back to church, and there was that guy down the hall across the road and all that kind of stuff teaching Dr. Ruckman's material, and I wasn't the same after that. That was an answer to prayer. I was thinking then, you know, from there, I'm looking for the next step. And I mean, start praying, and the prayer was definitively answered. Now, I won't tell you the whole story again tonight, but definitively answered, and it's PBI. my dad and my grandfather said, "You mean not medical school?" "No, sir, not medical school. PBI. The Cave." Pensacola Bible Institute. Bible Institute? Yeah, Bible Institute. That's where I'm headed. What about the farm? What about the farm? I ain't going back to the farm. I'm going to get fed. At PBI, again, answer to prayer. 2 years deep at Mary Marcy. Answer to prayer. Start seeking God's will. And introductions are made. And 3 days after I graduate, I graduate, we are here in Minnesota. Answer to prayer. Five, six, 7 years later, church has split and we've started over and worked and, you know, full-time job and all that for all those years. And this building comes open back there where Sarah's at right now. And we got to buy the building. Answer to prayer. 3 years later, we've run out of space. A guy shows up with money and says, "I'd like to loan you the money." Answer the prayer. So where would we be without answers to prayer? I don't know. Where would you be without answers to prayer? And I can just say, you know, you kind of forget about it sometimes. But when you start reviewing and looking at the role that God's played in your life, it revolves so much around Him speaking to you and answering your prayers that it's a strength. And whatever's the case, I mean, I know God will take care of me. I know God will take care of us, right? The world hopes and wishes and gambles and takes chances and rolls the dice and hopes for luck and hopes for chance, and the Christian prays. And it's a strength. So Delilah still has a razor, and she knows that answered prayer will strengthen you, so she keeps you busy. And every time you go to pray, you start feeling drowsy. And you want to go to sleep. And it sure gets easy to blow it off, doesn't it? You're too distracted. It's just, you know, you're just weary. And every time you lay down, your body starts squawking, or else the kids come in and jump on you. But you need to remember that answered prayer is your strength. And if you ain't praying, then you're going to get a lot less answers. And don't expect the brethren to do all your praying for you. I'm happy to pray for you. But it's going to make me mad if you have me praying for you and you're not praying. Right? All right. Let me take you to Psalms 8. Psalms 8. I'll be fairly quick with the rest of this. Psalms chapter 8. And when you reach that, go ahead and flip over to Matthew 21. Okay, Psalms chapter 8. Verse 1. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Thou hast ordained strength out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Matthew 26, and go down to verse 16. 26:16. Sorry? 21? Say again? 21:16? What did I say? 21:16. Yeah, it's 21:16. Sorry. I was going to figure that out in a second. Psalm 21:15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things which he did, the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? In Psalms, it was strength. In Matthew, it's praise. What might that mean? Praise is strength. Right? It matters how you sing. You know, it matters that you can raise your hand once in a while and say, just have a praise. It matters. Job was a strong man. We all look at Job and say, we don't want Job's lot. We don't want nothing of Job's lot, right? But with regard to Job, let me just read you a verse. I'll tell you where it's at. It's Job 1, and I'm already there, so I'm just going to read it to you. It's Job chapter... Boy, I wrote that down weird. That's not even right. Just let me look at a minute. Yeah. Job has gotten hit real hard, right? And everything's dead. And he's just gotten the news. I mean, there have been four messengers that have come and totally backed up their dump trucks and dumped on him. Four messengers. And verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And with that news in his lap, he still praises God. Now, brother, that's strength, right? The praise of God is strength. So Delilah still has a razor. So she tries to get you discontented. You develop a bitter spirit about somebody. You're mad at somebody else. And because they don't do what you want them to do, you know, you're sore. And you're just a casualty waiting to happen. Because somewhere, somebody else is going to offend you, and finally the preacher will offend you, so you'll just leave. But you see what Delilah did? She implanted something in your heart that kept you from praising God, that kept you from staying upon the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, she steals your song. You become a chider and a complainer, like the children of Israel, and pretty soon the joy's gone, the praise is gone, and so the strength is gone. Because the praise of God is strength. Look in Proverbs 24. Like I said, you can fill some of this out in your own mind and heart since we've gotten this far. But Proverbs 24. Delilah still has a razor. She's going to try to rob you of the Lord, of the joy of the Lord speaking to you, of answered prayer by keeping you from praying. Because God does answer if you'll pray. He may say no, but He'll answer. She will try to rob you of the praise of God. She will try to rob you, Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. A wise man is strong. So she'll try to deprive you. She'll try to shave your wisdom. She'll try to pollute God's wisdom with the world. And you can't operate like that and be strong. She'll try to get you to act like a fool, to make foolish decisions, to stack one foolish decision on another. It's like a Laurel and Hardy movie. You know, one thing goes wrong, trying to fix it, they make it worse, and it just continues to snowball. So many people's lives are like that, it's not even funny. You do one thing wrong, trying to fix the one thing you did wrong, it just goes double wrong, and it just goes on and on and on. You add dope to booze, and you add one thing broken to another thing broken, pretty soon everything's broken. It's not having wisdom. It's one bad decision upon another. It's decisions in haste, decisions in foolishness. And so she tries to rob you of your wisdom. Delilah still has a razor, and she knows how to get Christians to compromise the wisdom that they have, because the devil has a wisdom to replace it if you let him, right? Pretty soon you know more about jury-rigging something in a worldly fashion, making money on a gambling, sports betting, than you know about the Bible. Playing a dangerous game. Because if you're not careful, she's going to rob you of your strength. In Isaiah 40, there's another thing to add. I know this is quite a few points, but don't need to quit now. Isaiah 40. And again, you'll recognize this as a very common and plain verse that you know. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So patience. So James says, let patience have her perfect work, right? Proverbs says, he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. But patience is strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And not just necessarily waiting in a chair with your hands folded, but how about waiting by serving? They that wait on the Lord, not just a passive thing, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But you're going to have to wait on Him. Everybody else does. And sometimes in America, we're so used to having a hamburger in our hand 3 minutes after ordering it. And, you know, you can now do Keurig coffee in 2 minutes. I mean, you just don't have to wait on nothing. They're fixing it where now we don't wait on anything. And so your temptation is not to wait on God. And you're being robbed of strength. Delilah's training you. She's training you to sleep in your lap. She's rubbing your temples. Now, just relax and let Mama work on you. Before you know it, you're shaved. Shaved bald as a bug. And you have no strength. You knew I was going here. This is the last one. Look, if you will, in, well, it's not the last verse, but it's the last, one of the main ones. Look in, where was I going? Second Corinthians. You knew I was going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just here not long ago. 2 Corinthians 12. Of his thorn in the flesh, he prays in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So, a man's strength is in the Lord, and the Lord's strength is made perfect in my weakness. If he just endues me, I mean, we proved it with Samson. Endues a man with that kind of strength, that man will go and abuse it. And he thinks it's his to play with. That's what Samson did. And so the Lord knocks you down and makes you incapable of something so that you're only capable of it through him. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so she robs you, because there's always an answer for whatever infirmity that you have. You know, I've taken a lot of Tylenol the last month. But, you know, there are other pills that people turn to that aren't really an answer. They're just adding to the problem. And what the Lord wanted was for you to humble yourself and glory in what the Lord's doing with you in spite of the fact that it's not pleasant. And if Delilah can rob you of doing that, she's helping to rob you of your strength. Right? Now, from last week, you know, we said, what does faithfulness look like? I have one verse for you, then I'm done. Look in Romans 15. And this didn't come to light till later this afternoon, but Romans 15. So, what does strength look like? I mean, okay, you're all those things. I mean, you have the Lord, you have the joy of the Lord, the Lord speaks to you, the Lord answers your prayer, you can praise God on a dime and mean it in sincerity, and everybody gets a blessing, and you've labored to be wise, and you've suffered through some things, and so you've learned to be patient, and you know what it is to be made weak so God can be strong through you. So it's all said and done. When you're strong, what's that look like? Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know what a strong man does? Puts on a tank top and shows off his muscles, right? But if that's not what Bible strength looks like, it bears the infirmities of the weak. It serves. I think that's cool. Not that it's always enjoyable. Because I'd rather be strong of myself, right? And get to do what I want to with my strength, go show off my strength somewhere. But that's really not how it works. Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer.